Okay, we're back in the Statement of Faith. We have a few more weeks on that, on Trinity Bible Fellowship's Statement of Faith. And we're going to be looking at point number 17, that Christians witness with their lifestyles as well as with their words. And so you can open up to Mark chapter 8, and we'll be looking at verse 34. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and we're going to go to the Lord one more time in prayer that he anoints the preaching of the word. We do that because the only infallible, perfect human that walked the face of the earth happened to be God, and he's now seated at the Father's right hand, so everybody else who gets behind the pulpit has got issues, okay? None of us are going to be perfect until King Jesus comes back and changes us in a twinkling of an eye. And so until that point, we beg God that he anoints the preacher, whether it's me or somebody else. And so let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, I thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift, for you sending your son to die on the cross for our sins. I thank you, Lord, that you raised him from the dead to conquer man's greatest enemy, death, for us. I thank you, Lord, we got people in this church that are committing their lives to you. They're trusting in your son, Jesus, for salvation, and they're wanting to get baptized tonight. And so we are grateful for that. We're grateful that for the people that are here, Lord, the new people, the people that have been here a while, that they want to hear your word. They want to hear your truth, and they're tired of hearing fake news in a fake news culture, in a culture of lies. But in this culture of lies, there is truth, and that truth comes from the God of truth. And if we trust in your son Jesus for salvation, you are our God and we are your people. Empower us to be obedient to you, Lord. Please, Lord, anoint me with your spirit to proclaim your truth. Cancel the man, Lord. I, like all humans, have led many people astray with the things I've said that were not consistent with your word. Cancel the man. Anoint me. Fill me with your spirit. Empower me to proclaim your truth today so I would not lead anyone astray. Remind everybody here that the ultimate authority for what we believe and how we behave is your word. The 66 books of the Bible. It's not the guy behind the pulpit. So may you give everyone here the courage to test even what they hear from this pulpit, not just what they hear from the mainstream media or from politicians or from the universities or the government-run schools. No, that they would test all things. Even what is preached from this pulpit, they would test it with the word of God. And if it agrees with your word, they would uphold it. If it disagrees with your word, they would reject it. The Lord, empower us not only to understand your word, but to apply your word so we can be all you called us to be. And we can be pleasing in your sight until that day when your son, the Lord Jesus, takes his stand upon the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this point number 17, in our statement of faith for Trinity Bible Fellowship. We're going over this because it's getting hot in the kitchen. And each and every person here, I mean, it used to be I'd come to church to try to teach our people how to live for Jesus. And I'm still doing that. But as a side note, sometimes I get the impression I'm teaching our people how to suffer and die for Jesus. And so the American church is becoming like the church of all other nations for the past 2,000 years. Suffering's coming here. Our culture, this isn't Grandpa's America anymore. All of a sudden, the Christians are the bad guys. We say we love God with everything we got, and we love all mankind. All mankind is deserving of equal rights given to them by God, inalienable rights. That makes you a racist. That makes you a bigot. I mean, you can't even tell a guy, hey, sir, the men's room's over there. You go into the ladies, not just the ladies' room, the men's room's over there. You can't. You get mad at a guy because your wife comes out. So there's a guy in the men's room. He's trying to talk in the ladies' room. He's trying to talk to me. You get in trouble for confronting the guy. You know, the Bible says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." We're living in those days, and so if we're going to stand for the faith once for all delivered to the saints, we got to remind ourselves what that is, and that's why we're going over this statement of faith. Now, last week it was the mission of the church. You're on a mission. You know, we think, you know, oh, I'm just this insignificant person. There are no insignificant human beings in the kingdom of God. If you're in Christ, you're on a mission from God. Our mission is go, make disciples, baptize them like we're going to do today in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them all that Jesus taught. And Jesus did teach that not only did he promise us the New Testament, he taught us the Old Testament as God's word too. So we got to preach the whole word of God. Okay? Where you fit in that, I don't know. You might be in a wheelchair and all you could do is pray. And maybe you don't make much money, but you give a little bit of what you have to support foreign missions. Maybe your work in getting the gospel to all nations is just supporting this church. So that through radio and online, we can reach people in hundreds of different countries, but we also support North African missionaries who are now widening their ministry and discipling people all over the world. Maybe God's going to send you to the mission field. But last week, if you just in case you didn't get what I was saying, last week I told you, you are on a mission from God. And if the powerful people of this world were here right now, they'd probably be laughing. But I doubt they're going to laugh when King Jesus takes his stand upon the earth. Okay? And so now, here, the mission of the church, we got to be serious about that, but we cannot accomplish the mission unless, point number 17 in our statement of faith, Christians witness with their lifestyles as well as with their words. In other words, you're on a mission from God and you got to practice what you preach. Let me say this. I am all for sharing the gospel with as many people as possible, but if you don't practice what you preach, do me a favor and shut up. Don't preach. Because those of us who do practice what we preach, you're making our job harder. We're talking to somebody about the Lord and they'll say, yeah, it sounds good, but I know this Christian who, and you fill in the blanks. I know this Christian who claimed he was my friend and then betrayed me. That's why C.S. Lewis said the best argument for Christianity is Christians. The best argument against Christianity is Christians. Just depends which Christians you're hanging out with. We got to practice what we preach. We witness with our lifestyles as well as with our words. It is important for Christians to obey God's word by relying upon the Holy Spirit to empower them to live godly lives. Don't go back to the law. Don't say, well, I got saved apart from the law through faith in Jesus, but now that I'm saved, I'm going to obey the law in my own strength. No, you got to depend upon Jesus. Acknowledge that dependency upon the Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit by waking up in the morning praising his name, by waking up in the morning and devotionally reading God's word, by waking up in the morning by praying to the triune God. What will happen? You do those things, guess what? You're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, and then it becomes natural to walk in the supernatural. And so we have to obey God's word by relying on the Holy Spirit to empower us to live godly lives. Though sinless perfection is not attainable in this life, if you tell me, Pastor, I haven't sinned in a week, I'm going to tell you, you're a liar. Okay? Don't just judge your spiritual life by what you outwardly do or don't do. I'm sure there's some Christians who will stay home and be on the internet all day or watch TV all day or sleep all day and then turn around and say, man, I didn't even sin. It's like, wait a minute, if you're healthy and you got energy, you tell me God didn't want you to do something yesterday? I'm so happy in Jesus right now. I got to go to a conference where I met with my old professor and an apologist that I haven't seen for years and hang out with them. And then a guy I debated twice, a leading atheist, Jeffrey J. Louder, crashed the conference. And so we got to have lunch with him and dialogue with him and witness with him and have a really high-level philosophical discussions with Jeffrey J. Louder. And then I got to meet so many of God's people who came to our table. We were giving away books. I'm just like so happy in Jesus. And so though sinless perfection is not attainable in this life, won't happen until Jesus changes us in the twinkling of an eye, our lives should be characterized by obedience to the Lord. Let me tell you, if your life, you claim to be a Christian and your life is not characterized by obedience to the Lord, your life is not characterized by at least attempting to live for Jesus, not yourself. Your life is not characterized by building God's kingdom. Instead, you're trying to build your own kingdom. You got to examine yourself to see if you're even saved. Okay? Practice what you preach. King David bombed. We're reading a song. The lyrics that we sang today, Created Me a Clean Heart, comes from the Psalms. Those lyrics were written 3,000 years ago. There's some musicians that are happy that if just 10 years after they record something, people are still listening to it. 3,000 years, we've still been singing it, Creating Me Clean Heart. Okay? Return to me the joy of my salvation. Why did he lose the joy of his salvation? Adultery and murder. That's horrible. Adultery and murder. If he would have said, as the king of Israel, let's invoke the law of Moses, they would have stoned him to death twice. Okay? But he wanted that joy. Let me tell you, if you don't have the joy of your salvation, you got to pray that God creates in you a clean heart. Okay? And, so we need to obey God's word. Look at Mark 8, verse 34. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 34. When's the last time when you witnessed to somebody, you gave them a line like this? Usually, you know, we focus on, it's a free gift, true. It's salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone, not of works, that none should boast. That is true. We got to make that clear. But we got to stop lying to people. Okay? We got to stop lying to people and act like, yeah, once you become a Christian, you don't have to worry about anything. Once you become a Christian, you just go back to living for yourself. That's not the case. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, saying, you want to be one of my followers? You want to be a believer? Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay? And so basically, Jesus is saying, look, salvation is free. But once you get saved, you're mine. Are you property of Jesus? If you're trusting in Jesus for salvation, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You're property of Jesus. You belong to the King. You live for him. You live to bring him glory, not yourself. You live to build his kingdom and not your own. And so we got to practice what we preach. If you're not, let me tell you, if you're still playing games with Jesus, and you say, I'm trusting in you for salvation, Jesus. I'm one of yours, but I still feel like living my own way. And you're still living a life of willful, habitual sin, you better examine yourselves. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you're in Christ. James, we're going to see what James says. Faith without works is dead. James said, if you met my big brother Jesus, everything changes. You claim you know Jesus and nothing changed, you're lying. Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. There's going to be some harsh words today, okay? But remember, what did I tell you when I started out? I'm happy in Jesus today. And I look at my people and I love the people that God has placed in this church. But it's getting hot in the kitchen. We got to stop playing games with Jesus. My friend Don Davidson once told me, I don't know what preacher he stole it from, but he once told me, Jesus does not want to be a part of your life. And that's true. Jesus does not want to be a part of your life. The Seahawks could be a part of your life. The Mariners can be part of your life. Your home can be part of your life. Jesus doesn't want to be part of your life. He wants to be your life. See the reason why you get up in the morning? See the reason why you eat breakfast? Why you brush your teeth and get washed and get clothed? And go to work or school or wherever it is you go? Is he the reason for everything you do? Jesus doesn't want to be part of your life. He wants to be your life. But Jesus, you know, I love Jesus, okay? And the world could frown on that. In fact, they could start throwing rocks at me. But I'm still going to tell the world, I love Jesus. He saved me. Do you love Jesus? You love Jesus. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love Jesus. Maybe you're new. Maybe you're not a believer and you're thinking about loving Jesus. But what did Jesus say in John 14, 15? If you love me, obey my commands. Obey my commands. Don't play games with Jesus. Jesus loves you so much. He loves me so much. Jesus is my friend. He's your friend. He's not only God the Son, but he also became a man. He's one of us. But he's still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's still the God who parted the Red Sea. He's still the God who created the universe. He's still the God who provided salvation for us. That's why Paul says, work out, not work for, work out your salvation with what? With fear and trembling. You know what the problem with the American church is? We don't do enough fear and trembling. We're just too comfortable with our buddy Jesus. My buddy Jesus, we hang out. Let me tell you, Jesus is still the God of Israel. He's still the God of creation. He's still the God of redemption. And you got to work out your salvation with a little bit of fear and trembling. And when you have a bad day, you're going to lose that joy of salvation. And you're going to have to cry out that the Lord will create in you a clean heart and return to you the joy of your salvation. But look at Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Jesus is talking about the judgment day, and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. You know who calls Jesus Lord? Those who profess to be his followers. So Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. They were never his. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you can call Jesus Lord. You can profess to be a believer. You can even do some supernatural things in Jesus' name, and you might not really be saved. How do I know that I'm saved right now? By the way, if on the way over here, somebody cut me off, and so I started beeping, and the guy pulled over, and I got out, and we duked it out, and yeah, I yelled and screamed, stuff like that. I wouldn't come here with the joy of my salvation. I mean, if I did something that wrong, you could ask me, Pastor, When did you get saved? I'd probably say, I'm not even sure I'm saved. You should have just seen me 10 minutes ago. You'd question whether I'm saved. Why? Because I would have lost that assurance, that confidence that I was saved. I would have lost the joy of my salvation. Okay? If you're calling Jesus Lord, even if you're doing powerful, supernatural things, you better make sure you're really trusting. The only way I know that I'm trusting in King Jesus, that it's legit, I'm not a pretender, I'm really trusting Jesus for salvation, it's faithfulness and perseverance. It might be in faithful every day. And I'm not talking, I did this, I didn't do that, I did. Forget about the works here. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does that characterize your life? Okay? And so if you're being faithful day by day, and then you're persevering through the decades, man, I'm telling you, faithfulness and perseverance, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, being obedient to King Jesus, and not getting arrogant. You know, Satan doesn't want you to obey the Lord. When you obey the Lord, Satan wants you to think, man, I'm a holy man. Boy, am I a holy guy. You walk into a place and there's other Christians and you act like, okay, you know, the holy man just showed up. You got to have humility, brothers and sisters. You got to have humility. Stop comparing yourself to other people. I remember when I was on a job site, I asked a guy, nice guy, I really liked him. And Rory, you know the guy. I'm not going to mention the guy's name. Tall guy. And I asked the guy, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? And he shocked me. He said, yeah, God would allow me into heaven. I was like, I never got that answer. I said, well, why? And then he started talking about his neighbors, how rotten his neighbors were. And I told him, I said, you know, I could play that game. I could look real good if I compare myself to Hitler and Stalin. You know, I could look real, real good. I said, but the problem is you got to compare yourself to Jesus. That's the only righteousness that I never heard anybody gets baptized, comes out of the water. It's not going to happen tonight. And if the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove and a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. That's the only guy that can Phil Fernandez please Jesus? Yes, but not in his strength, in the power of the Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because God is pleased with Jesus. He's not pleased with Phil Fernandez in his old strength. Okay? And so I had to take that guy to Galatians 2. I think it was verse 21. Paul said, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness, you know, salvation, if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. And so I said, you're a nice guy. If I were God, I'd let you into heaven. Problem is, I'm not God. I'm just one sinful human saying that this sinful human, I'm okay with him. But the God is a totally holy God. And he can't let you into heaven unless you have perfect righteousness, and that comes through Jesus. I said, the reason I can't agree with you, you're asking me to call Jesus a fool. Because Jesus said when he died on the cross for that guy's sin. He died on the cross for my sin, for your sin. And if you think you can save yourself by works, you're telling Jesus you're a fool. You didn't need to die for me. I could have done it on my own. But we trust in Jesus, and then we say we love Jesus. Well, we got to practice what we preach. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. You know what some of us do? It would be like if somebody here, Chris, I'm going to use you as an example there because you're a musician. But if Chris walked up and he grabbed his guitar and he said, I love you, Pastor Phil. And I told Chris, that's so good, Chris, because I'm a human and humans need to be loved. And it's real nice. And then I turn my back on him and he bashes me over the head with the guitar, okay? Now, Chris would never do that. He really loves his guitars, but but You know, you're not going to sit there and say, that's amazing. Chris loved Pastor Phil 1 second, and in the next second, he stopped loving him. You're not going to say that. You're going to sit back and you're going to say, Chris was lying. Because he said he loved Pastor Phil, and then he hit him over the head when he wasn't looking with a guitar. Why is that hard to understand? Why do we give a free pass to our so-called brothers and sisters in Christ, people who say they love Jesus, and then they love what Jesus hates, and they hate what Jesus loves? We got people saying, I love Jesus, but I'm encouraging my friend. He identifies as a female. And so I want to encourage him about the hormone treatment and the surgery. Let me tell you, you know, just read God's word. He told us what to believe and how to behave. And so if you got a transgender friend, you love them. But if you don't love somebody. Somebody's walking towards the edge of a cliff, blindfolded. That's not love. You say, well, I don't want to remove the blindfold and tell them they're going in the wrong direction because I don't want to hurt the guy's feelings. I don't want to hurt his self-esteem. No, if you love them, you remove the blindfold and you tell them about the error of their way. And you try to bring them to King Jesus and King Jesus' way of living. In America, you can call yourself a Christian and do what he says not to do and not do what he says to do. That's a joke. We got to stop playing games with Jesus. And I know everybody a little bit. I don't know you a lot, but what I've seen, I've been impressed. I've been real impressed. But each of us knows that there's room for improvement. Okay? But I don't want to stand around judgment and say, calling Jesus Lord, and then Jesus saying, and then Jesus says, no, you know, you didn't obey me. You didn't really love me. If you were a true believer, you know, we're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. And it's not of works, but true saving faith produces good works. Okay? And I don't want to stand there on Judgment Day and say, Jesus, say, you know, you did a lot of powerful things in my name, but you practiced wickedness. You didn't really believe because I never even knew you. You were never one of mine. Okay? Christianity is not a list of rules and regulations. It's a personal love, trust relationship with our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. It's a walk with Jesus. And take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. When they outlaw Christianity in this country, that day will come. It's happened in every country on the planet. Given enough time, they outlaw Christianity. I'm going to reading this passage could get me arrested. In fact, real early on, the guy went to be with the Lord now, but I think it was Steve Boisson or something from Canada. The guy read from Romans 1, 18 to 32 to a youth group, and a boys' youth group. I think they were kind of troubled youth. And his main preaching was don't reject God, trust in God, and submit to God. Don't suppress the truth that God exists. It wasn't even his main emphasis on calling homosexuality a sin, but the passage talked about that. That's when the Canadian Human Rights Council told him he was going to be fined $15,000 or spend 5 years in prison. And he refused to fight it. Now, we were probably the first to interview him on our radio show and talk radio. I mean, we probably had 9 people listen to the program, so it looked like he was going to go to prison. Eventually, Focus on the Family interviewed him, and they raised millions of dollars, and he eventually won, but for years, they were going to throw him in prison. I'm telling you, Canada wants to be even worse, okay? But they're shutting down freedom of speech. We got an administration that would love to do the things Trudeau is doing up north. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Canada. It's getting rough. If they don't like what you say, they start closing down your bank accounts. Okay? But the day's going to come when I read this passage, I can get in a lot of trouble for it. But you know what I'll do then? I'll read the passage. Okay? God called me to preach his word. God called you to preach his word. We preach his word. Whether or not the powers that be like it. But listen to what this says. Paul, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, those who are people who are sexually immoral, that's any sex outside of male-female marriage. Okay? Whether it's premarital sex, adultery, whatever, fornication is sexual immorality, homosexuality. So the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. We're being deceived in America today. Okay? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, people who worship false gods, nor adulterers, people who cheat on their spouses or mess around with somebody else's spouse, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Paul wanted to make sure they got the message. So he mentioned both the aggressive homosexuals as well as the passive homosexuals. Okay? You get a lot of people. I debated the issue twice. Once in the early 1990s, the biblical perspective of homosexuality at Lower Columbia College. And then about 2005, me and a Christian lawyer debated an ACL lawyer and a liberal pastor on gay marriage. Okay? And they try to say, no, God's word is not against homosexuality. It's almost only against homosexual prostitution. Or it's only against unloving homosexual relationships. No. Paul covered both sides of the issue here. Homosexuality and any sex outside of male-female marriage is a sin. Homosexuality is not just a sin against God. It's also a sin against nature. Because you start using, the human body is being used in a way it was not designed to be used. And nor thieves. I used to be a thief. Maybe there's some out there used to be thieves. Nor thieves, nor covetous. Ouch, that one hurts us all. Is your life characterized by coveting others? You know, I got to meet a lot of my apologetics, old buddies and stuff. They treat me like an equal and everything, and it's great. But they're real famous, and I'm not. So I got to be careful that I don't covet. Oh, I'm not as popular as Frank Turek. Oh, I'm not as popular as Gary Harris. I mean, Frank Turek wrote one book, sold at least 300,000 copies. It's probably getting closer to 400,000. One book sells 10 times as many books as all the books I've written in decades. So even pastors can covet. Say, why isn't my church as big as another guy's church? You know? But don't covet. Don't look at other people's stuff. I mean, I want that. I want what that guy's got. No, you just served the Lord Jesus. Use the gifts the Lord Jesus has given you for his glory. And then you just be content wherever you are economically or publicity-wise. Okay? Covetous. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a scary passage. You know, we Christians today, because of the gay rights movement and all, and by the way, I think we should love homosexuals, treat them with respect. But the fact of the matter is, what they're doing is sinful. They need to come to Jesus and allow Jesus to change their lives. But there's people right now calling themselves Christians, saying they trust in Jesus for salvation, and they're perfectly content to continue to live a homosexual lifestyle. That contradicts the word of God. But we like to focus on that. But how many of us like to focus on covetous? How many of us like to focus on some passages that kind of hit home with us? Okay? But here's a little bit of hope there. Verse 11, and such were, in fact, there's a lot of hope, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were set apart, but you are justified, declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Okay? So one way, shape, or form, verses 9 and 10 was describing us before we got saved. You might say, well, I was never involved in homosexual activity. Yeah, but you coveted. Okay? And again, by the way, you know, we're not perfect. We all covet to one degree or not. That's a sin in the mind. Desiring what somebody else has when it's not yours. Trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's the American dream today. But does that characterize your life? Did you just have a bad day? Or are you continuing willful, habitual disobedience, even in the realm of your mind? Fight sin in the realm of your mind. You won't have to fight in the realm of the attitude or your words or your actions. Okay? And but God judges even our thoughts. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. This is all why in Matthew 18, God's word says if somebody's continuing in willful, habitual sin, you confront them. They claim to be a Christian. If they don't repent, if they don't turn from their sin, you confront them with two or three people. If they still won't repent, they continue in willful, habitual sin, then you present it to the church leadership, and you may have to excommunicate the person. Why? Because we can't play games with Jesus. Okay? You could get busted for two or three DUIs and still have membership with the YMCA. We're not the YMCA. We're ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lamb who was slain, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We got to stop playing games with Jesus. Decide today to live for Jesus while days are still relatively good, so you don't have to worry about, are you going to make that decision to be willing to suffer and die for him when things get bad? If you can't live for Jesus in the good days, what makes you think you're going to be willing to die for him when things get bad? And so look at Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace, salvation is God's charity. We can't earn it. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And what Paul means there is through faith in Jesus, through trusting in Jesus. It's not just believing about Jesus, it's believing in him, trusting in him for salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can't brag. Yeah, I accepted Jesus. I earned my salvation. No, you still deserve the flames of hell. You didn't earn it. Jesus earned your salvation through his cross and resurrection. It took work. It took works to get you to heaven, to get you saved, but it's not our works. We fall short. It was the work of Christ. And because salvation is a free gift, you think, wow, that was easy. Try telling that to Jesus when you get to heaven. You think it was easy for him to hang on a cross for 6 hours? You think it was easy for him to get scourged by the Roman soldiers? But that's what it took, because God is just. He must judge and punish all sin. He punished Jesus in our place. And God is so loving, he was willing to sacrifice his son rather than punish us for our sin. But we got no reason to boast. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, 17 says, but he who boasts, boasts in the Lord. So we ought to do a lot of bragging. But when you brag about Jesus. But look at verse 10. We're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. It's not of works. However, for we are his workmanship, God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for new creations in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So Christians witness with their lifestyles as well as with their words. It's like James chapter 2, verse 26. It says, the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. True saving faith will produce good works. We all know somebody who, when they were 9 years old, cried and said the sinner's prayer. And then for the last 40 years, they don't go to church. They take God's name in vain. They get drunk. They start fights. They treat people like trash. Okay? When are we going to wake up? And, you know, God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. But all we got is the outward appearance. God's word says if somebody continues in willful, habitual sin, and you have to remove them from the church, you treat them like a tax collector or a Gentile. In other words, you treat them like they're unsaved. You love them and you try to get them the gospel message. But you realize if somebody's playing games with Jesus, there's a good chance they're not saved. Now, they might have a bad night. A true believer might have a bad night, like Peter, and deny Jesus three times. A true believer might have a bad year, like King David. Adultery and murder, and not repenting until he's confronted by Nathan the prophet. But when someone just continues in willful, habitual sin, I've counseled Christians who are living in willful, habitual sin, and they cried. They wanted out. We can help you out. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can help you out of sinful behavior. But I've also counseled people who claimed to be Christians, lived in willful, habitual sin, and had no desire to stop. I've counseled guys who left their wives for another woman and refused to leave that woman and go back to their wife. And what do we do? You know, I told one guy, I said, look, you got to choose between that other woman or your wife. He said, I made my choice. I said, let me rephrase it. You got to choose between that other woman and Jesus. He said, I already made my choice. I said, okay, you're not welcome back. We prayed for him for years. And eventually he turned his life back over to the Lord. The lady that he ended up marrying, the lady he was with, she ended up coming to Christ. And then she ended up, and then he came back to the Lord. And then he started emailing everybody, apologizing for what he had done. Went to another church in Port Orchard and then died of a heart attack one day. He was only in his 50s. But I think that comeback showed, you know, look at all the destruction he had done. But I think that told me, okay, this guy, we're probably going to see this guy in heaven someday. Now, there are other guys that walk away from the Lord and they never look back. And on their deathbed, they're cursing Jesus. We got to practice what we preach. We got to stop playing games with Jesus. If we love Jesus, obey him. If we love Jesus, obey him. And now, how do we obey Jesus? Let me give you a little formula for obeying Jesus, okay? Look at Romans 3:31, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, and verse 31. Now, Paul has just, in this chapter, said, look, all mankind, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we can be saved through faith in Jesus by God's grace. So Paul gets done teaching us we're not saved by works. We're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. And it's not of works. Then in verse 31 he says, "Do we then?" Now that might sound like a license to sin. You can't be saved by the works of the law, so you trust Jesus for salvation, and then you can just go on sinning. But Paul says in verse 31, "Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." So though we're not saved by the law, we're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. But then through faith, we fulfill and obey the law. You realize you got to just You don't just trust in Jesus for salvation. You got to also trust in Jesus to be all that he called you to be today. I can't be all that God called me to be today unless I'm trusting in Jesus. Because he's got to empower me through the Holy Spirit to bear the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Okay? So we're not saved by faith, but true saving faith will produce good works. James 2:26 just says the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. In fact, James could say, if you have faith without works, can that faith even save you? And see, what he means by faith is mere mental assent. If you have the right Bible doctrines, the right views about Jesus, about yourself, about the Bible, about salvation, you have those in your head, but you don't then say, okay, because I believe that Jesus is God and Savior, now I'm going to actually enter into a personal relationship with him. I'm actually going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to trust in Jesus. I'm going to walk with him. James says that if you just have mere mental assent, you'll be like the demons. They believe there's one God and then they tremble. Okay? You got to do more than just believe about Jesus and salvation. You got to actually trust in him. Okay? The Lord is other people's shepherd. They shall not want. No, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. You got to enter into that personal trust relationship with him. So how do we obey God's law? Through faith in Jesus. Okay? Then look at Romans 13, verse 10. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Romans 13, verse 10, Paul says, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is what? The fulfillment of the law. Okay? So Paul's saying, well, faith fulfills the law. But then he's saying, love fulfills the law. Look at Mark chapter 12, what Jesus said. Mark 12. Verses 30 and 31. In fact, we'll take it from verse 28. Mark 12, 28 to 31. Then one of the scribes came and heard them. This is a Christian expert because he makes professional copyists of God of the Old Testament. Then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well. So this guy is saying, man, Jesus is, he's giving the right answers to these questions. He asked him, which is the first commandment of all? What's the most important commandment? You got over 600 commands in the Old Testament. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord. You got to identify the right Lord, by the way. Okay? The Lord our God is one, that's Yahweh, God of Israel, God of the Bible, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. See, you got over 600 Old Testament laws. The Pharisees were all caught up in the technicalities, the rules and regulations. Christianity is not a list of rules and regulations. It's a personal love, trust, relationship with the Lord Jesus, the lawgiver himself. And then he empowers us to obey his laws. Okay? So the Ten Commandments sum up the Old Testament law. The first four commandments is our relationship with God. The last six is our relationship with our neighbor. Jesus sums up those ten, which sum up all the Old Testament laws. Love God with everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself. I will say this. Anyone who loves God with everything he's got and loves his neighbor as himself will go to heaven. But guess what? You can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you can't get the power of the Holy Spirit in your life unless you bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and you worship him as your God. You trust in him because he's your Savior, and you obey him because he's your Lord. It's salvation by grace, but grace not only saves, grace changes lives. Grace empowers people. Yeah, I could look at myself, who I am now and who I was before Christ, and yeah, the Lord's got a lot of work to do on me. I blew up the other day because my wife's health insurance, they said we were behind on a payment, and they were threatening to drop my wife's health insurance. I'm like, we've had the same plan with them for like 30 years. And it turned out, I checked up, and like March 25th was when we made the payment, and they cashed it a few days later, yet they didn't keep a good enough record, so 3 days later, they cashed it on a Friday, and on a Monday, they're telling us they didn't get it, and it's an ad. I blew up. I got all bent out of shape. That's not being obedient to the Lord. Okay? So I had to ask the Lord forgiveness on that. None of us are perfect and all, but Christianity, it's not a list of rules and regulations. It's a personal love, trust, relationship with the Lord Jesus. Write this down if you're taking notes. Obedience. And remember, obedience is important. Why? Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because there might be like one person that doesn't raise their hand. I don't want to put them on the spot. But I like to say, hey, give me a show of hands. How many people love Jesus? Well, if we love Jesus, then obey his commands. If we say we love him and we're not obeying his commands, we're just pretending. We're saying, Lord, Lord, but we don't know Jesus and he doesn't know us. That's the whole meaning of life, to know Jesus, to be known by him and to make him known. And but obedience equals faith plus love in action. I'm going to repeat that. Obedience equals faith plus love in action. So if you're trusting in Jesus for salvation, and now you want to obey him, you have to trust in Jesus moment by moment. You got to read his word. You got to say, Lord, I'm a sinful person with sinful desires. The old man keeps coming back. I want to be the new man, the new creation in Christ. Jesus, I'm trusting in you. I love you because the Holy Spirit's put that love in my heart. I love you, Lord, and I love your people. I love all the ones you created, not just believers, even non-believers. And so, Jesus, I want to go where you go. I want to think what you think. I want to say what you say. I want to do what you want me to do. Okay? Salvation is by God's grace alone, through Jesus alone. We grow in the Lord by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. And as we trust in him, we build that loving relationship with the Lord. Okay? That's how you obey. The Bible talks about obeying the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is much more important than the letter of the law. Okay, like the letter of the law, you should assemble with believers. You're en route to church, and you see a 95-year-old guy whose car is broken down, and God's gifted you to know how to fix cars. Plus, you got a cell phone. You can call for help for the guy. But the letter of the law says, don't be late to church. Spirit of the law says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I've known youth pastors who haven't helped people, pass by hurting people. Said a little quick prayer for them, but pass by hurting people, and so they wouldn't be late for the youth group meeting. They're obeying the letter of the law. Now, let me say this, though, too. There are some people out there that pretend to be hurting, and they're waiting for some unsuspecting Christian to mug. So just be careful there. And there's times, you know, maybe a guy's driving by and it's a young lady whose car is broken down. You might need to pray for her and just drive right on. But you got to be careful, because the evil one will take situations and twist them. But, you know, maybe a lady needs to go by and help that lady. But I'm telling you guys and gals, you know, Satan's got a target on our backs. If Satan can bring just one or two people down before it gets hot in the kitchen, TBF's, Trinity Bible Fellowship's effectiveness will be greatly impacted for the bad, okay? This is not a time to play games with Jesus. In fact, there was never a time to play games with Jesus. C.S. Lewis, the Jesus figure, was Aslan, the lion. He said, Aslan is on the move. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, things are getting bad in America, but what that means is Jesus is on the move. There's a reason why a dozen people want to get baptized today. Little small church like ours. God does powerful things, even with small churches. You're on a mission from God, but we got to get serious about it. Jesus is on the move. Yeah, the evil one is just destroying Western civilization right now. I wept this morning reading about what's going on with the African church. Do you realize that some American and European big denominations, Methodist, Lutherans, Anglicans, and all, they want to be so woke, and a lot of them are prevented from being woke because the African church leaders are fighting it. They're serious about serving Jesus. I think in 60% of African nations, homosexuality is still against the law. They're serious about the gospel. Revival is happening right now. Greatest revival in the history of the church, but it's not happening here. America and Europe, Christianity is in decline. But in African nations, in Asian nations, Central and South American nations, often among tribal peoples, God is alive and well. Christianity is growing in leaps and bounds. So don't give up. We're fighting this battle, okay? But don't give up. Jesus is on the move. So if you claim him as your Savior and your Lord, don't play games with Jesus. Practice what you preach. If you love Jesus, obey him. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, I pray, Lord, that each and every person here, that we'd all acknowledge that we're sinners, we cannot save ourselves. And then rather than trusting in ourselves, we would trust in Jesus alone for salvation. And that we'd be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, who would give us the new birth and change us from within and bear his fruit in our lives, so that we can be all that you called us to be through your power and for your glory. Help us, Lord, to stop playing games with Jesus. Help us to love Jesus. Help us to obey Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know things are getting tough in America for Christians. May we be bold, Lord. May we stand firm. I talked to a lot of people the last few days who lost their jobs because they didn't go with the government on certain medical practice or whatever. A lot of people who are hurting,